Today on Real Radio.
If God speaks to your heart, you may or may not recognize it if I were to leave you alone on this. So let me tell you up front. If God begins to speak to you, there's times when he speaks to us that we just feel like a bubble or a balloon filled with joy and you want to pop. That's not this kind of message.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues now in his verse-by-verse series through Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. We're in a study taken from the last five verses of chapter 5. Now, Paul has already laid out his case about avoiding sexual immorality. And now he takes it a step further in admonishing the believer to stay away from anyone who practices that kind of sin. Don't even associate with them. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now in a lesson called Living Out the Word of God.
But Paul, when writing this to the Corinthian believers, on top of the fact that what we're about to study, he wrote to them, and then he was planning on coming to them. If I were to write this to somebody, they would be the last people I'd want to show up and see for fear of getting stoned to death or something. It's hard-hitting stuff. Before we get into this message this morning, it's definitely not for the faint of heart. But we need to resolve something or be reminded of something right here, right now. And that is that you guys, for those of you who've been here for a while, you know the personality, the feel of this church. What has happened here? I know that when you pulled up, you're visiting. It looks like a normal church. It's kind of sloped a little bit. You have seats to sit in. But we never intended this to happen. This has been God's business. And from the days of the home fellowship and the home Bible study, it's just always been just the Bible and what the Bible says. And so this is one of those messages that will cut to the core. It will affect people. And this is what I want to say in advance so you can kind of just get it over with in your mind. If God speaks to your heart, you may or may not recognize it if I were to leave you alone on this. So let me tell you up front. If God begins to speak to you, there's times when he speaks to us that we just feel like a bubble or a balloon filled with joy and you want to pop. That's not this kind of message. There's times when God speaks to us and we feel like crawling under a rock and hiding. That's the kind of message this is. Not to deny anything that he says, but to deal with what he says. So remember the context. You have a loving apostle by the name of Paul who's writing to a church that loves just about everything and anything but God. Oh, they would tell you they love God, but they live with their devotion and passion towards all kinds of other things. They are a culture, they are a church that you cannot tell the difference from the world outside of them and around them. And Paul, in his love and calling, lays it on them. For the last 3 weeks, we've been looking at an issue in the church that Paul wrote strong words about, and that was in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, that they, as leaders, were puffed up and arrogant and boasting about a situation in the church that had become famous. The world had made comments about it, and other believers had known about it, and that was the messages, three series messages that we gave, and that was entitled Saints, Sex, and Sinners, how in the church they were allowing sexual immorality. And Paul really lowered the boom on them, and now we come out of that. So imagine all of this being in their minds, that they are a church and a church leadership that's off the course. They are using and exploiting what we would call the grace of God, not to deal with the situation, but to cover it up. And that's never good. And so this morning, we have a message entitled Living Out the Word of God. And I want you to mark that in your mind. Living Out the Word of God, found in 1 Corinthians 5, verses 9 through 13. You can follow along as I read. Paul says to the church at Corinth, or this morning to the church at California, I write to you in my epistle not to keep company with sexually immoral people, yet I certainly did not mean with the sexually immoral people of this world. So don't hang out in fellowship with people who are sexually immoral within the church, but concerning the world, it's going to be obvious that that's kind of what the world's made up of. Verse 10, I certainly did not mean with the sexually immoral people of this world or with covetous people. That means people who are in love with stuff that doesn't belong to them. Extortionists, idol worshipers, since you then would need to go out of the world. But now I have written to you not to keep company with anyone named a brother. That would be someone who calls himself a Christian, who is sexually immoral. Now listen to this. Covetous, an idol worshiper, a reviler, that is a person who is spouting off in hostility or anger, filthy words, filthy talk, a drunkard, that is someone who is a drunkard. That's what it means. An extortioner, someone who steals for their own personal gain. Not even to eat with such a person. For what have I to do, says Paul, with judging those who are outside? The word outside means, what do I have to do with those who are not Christians? The question demands a no answer. I have nothing. Paul is saying, I have nothing to do with those people who are outside of the church. I don't judge them. I don't deal with them. He says, verse 12, do you not judge those who are inside? That is, doesn't the church take care of its own situations? But those who are outside, God judges. Therefore, put away from yourselves the evil person. Now, let's just settle this right now. He's talking about two different worlds. And he has to do that, church, because the Corinthian leadership had muddled the two worlds together. You couldn't tell a Corinthian Christian from a Corinthian non-Christian. In fact, in that culture, as we talked about before, if you wanted to insult someone, you would call them a Corinthian. How sad is that? That's like, I don't know, what would you say today? You know, I know, living down here in Southern California, when we see somebody that is extremely liberal, we would say, you must be from Berkeley. Right? Or Berserkly, or whatever it's called. It's there's those names, you know, there's those stigmas or titles. And so you've got this what should be a division, and by practice and lifestyle, ethos, there's a mix. And so as we look at this, we're going to consider three things this morning. Number one is this, mark it down, and that is living out the word of God, first of all, means that we're to be in this world. Christian, mark it down. God did not make a mistake. You are supposed to be in this world. I wish it weren't so, but it is. I would love to look at this first point and teach it this way. That the moment you and I accept Jesus Christ, imagine for the moment, you and I bow our knee, we accept the Lord, we're born again, we stand up, and we go straight to heaven. How cool will that be? The only problem is there'd be no Christians on the earth. We are to be in this world by the decree of God. God wants you and I infused into this world. As a believer, the word of God is to be coming out of our lives. That's why we spend every week in multiple services so much time in the word of God, because the more we intake the word, the greater probability. In fact, we are ensuring the fact that the word of God will come out of us. The more we take in, the more comes out. And God wants us to be in the world. And there's three things about us being in the world that you and I need to consider. And in verses 9 and 10, we look at this, that we are to be wise in the world. Can you write that down? I'm in the world, but I've got to be wise in this world. We cannot be unwise as believers. I want you as a pastor to be wise as a Christian. He says, when I wrote to you in my epistle not to keep company with sexually immoral people, I certainly did not mean with the sexually immoral people of the world. Why is that so important to us, to live wisely? Watch my hands, because I cannot speak it clearly. I've got to use my hands to tell you about it. The Corinthian church said they believed in God. Okay, fine. They lived differently. Paul is saying the world has its lifestyle, and you can know the world by its lifestyle. And when you go to work tomorrow, Corinthian, or for us, when you go to work tomorrow, Californian, you and I are going to be work, well, not I mean the church, we don't have fornicators and adulterers and all this stuff. So you, I used to work in the world, and that was fun working in the world. Not that it's not fun working with our staff. They're great people. But as a Christian, it's awesome to be deployed into the world. I think it's fantastic because, you know, they're hurting, and they need hope. And they need the good news of Jesus. And so when you think about going tomorrow out into the world, understand something. You are in the world by the decree of God. He wants you out there. And if you don't go out there, you can become a Corinthian. A Corinthian didn't have to go to the world to get goofy. They were already goofy inside the church. They were messed up. How'd they get that way? Because what they did was they were arrogant and proud. Remember they boasted, I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Cephas. They had personality factions and cults, personality cults. We're so this, we're so that, we're so something. They would have said, we've arrived. But they didn't take Jesus to the world around them. What they wound up doing was making themselves or being a world unto themselves. And instead of that being really cool and righteous and awesome, the world had crept in, and they wound up, rather than going to the world, which will keep you sharp and keep you on the edge with Jesus, they wound up becoming very arrogant, proud, often legalistic. That's what it breeds. And when you're legalistic, some of the most terrible sins go on in a person's life and or a church that is legalistic, because they say no, 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 while they allow all kinds of shenanigans. Shenanigans is a Greek word for things ought not to be doing. I'm joking. But they allow stuff in their lives while they tell you no, they're doing it themselves. And the Corinthian church was sideways in walking with God. They were messed up. You and I need to be wise, because church, tomorrow morning when you go to work, God is calling you, listen, to be around those who are listed in those sins. You say, Jack, are you sure you want to say that? I absolutely want to say that. What I need to follow up with is saying this: your Christianity is much more powerful and resilient than you think. Don't build a little fortress and live your life in that place and never get out onto the streets of where? On the streets of, imagine after service right now, I say, let's all get in a bus, a big bus, and we're gonna go to Hollywood and Vine. Imagine if we go this evening to Sunset Boulevard. Now, you and I, we've been there before. We cringe, right? That's disgusting. In fact, when's the last time you've been there? Who wants to go there? Why? Because it appears that spaceships have landed and let people out. Absolutely strange things going on there. Weird people. Here's the thing. When you understand that God has called you into the world, but not to become of the world, that God has employed us, as it were, in the spirit to go out and rescue those who are lost, you go where Jesus went. If Jesus came back today, where would he go? Hollywood and Vine. He would. He went to the outcast, did he not? He went to those that nobody wanted. And you say, Jack, I mean, that's great. You go, but I can't go. Why can't you go? The reason why you won't go is because you have a very, very weak view of the power of God in your life. And that's wrong. I want you to change that view right now. So just change it now. You have been galvanized to go to the world. Jesus said, go into the world and make disciples of all nations. Who do you say that to? You, me, every believer. We are to go. And we're to go with wisdom, understanding. We are not going to go into the world, which is our mission field, outside these doors and become tainted by it. No, we are going to go out into that world and affect that world for the glory of God. Why? Because we've already come out of the world. A true believer doesn't want anything to do with this world anymore. You understand that this world will pull you down and destroy you. So what do? You either respond in a protectionist type view and don't go anywhere, or you say, Lord, I believe your word, and I'm going to be radicalized for Jesus, and I'm going to go to those who are hurting and love them. Pretty powerful stuff to be wise, to reach out to them. It doesn't mean to be their friend. It doesn't mean to act like them. It doesn't mean to be tainted by their conduct. It means that you and I have, by the power of the Holy Spirit, the calling, and by God's grace, the ability to go out into that dangerous world and say, hey, God loves you. Now, what's the wisdom factor of it? Well, if God delivered you from a life of alcoholism, for example, then I don't think it would be wise for you in your witness to go to Joe's Bar and Grill to share Christ. That may be too much of a temptation. But you would have no problem, say, going to the mall or going to the beach or going to the whatever. Maybe God deliver you out of a pornographic world. Then it probably wouldn't be good for you to go to Sunset and Vine. Be wise in how you conduct yourself. But listen, we are to be infused into the world. We are amazing, awesome ambassadors ordained by God to get out there into that world and to be wise about reaching them in this world. Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 31, it says, and Jesus said to the Jews who believed in him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you or make you free. The power of God's word in your life, that we are to be wise. Next, we're to be different. The church is to be different. We are to be different in this world that God has called us out into being. And church, this is a real snare and something to be careful about. I'll speak regarding the church in a corporate sense. When I say corporate, I mean all together. There is a huge movement going on in what's called evangelicalism to make the church look so much like the world that the world will feel comfortable coming into the church. Now, I don't even know what that means, the motive of that means. What does it mean? Well, we want people who don't believe in God to feel comfortable. What are you talking about? Think about that language for one thing. When you hear them define it, they say things like this. Well, we want them to come to church without them knowing that they're actually in church. And then at the right time, it could be months, could be years, could be when, who will spring church on them. Okay, personally, I don't see that in the Bible. That's kind of a little deceptive, isn't it? You know what? We insult the world. The world's pretty smart. And the world, maybe at Corinth, looked at the church at Corinth and said, who wants that mess? And I think the world outside these walls today looks at the organized church in America today and they say, well, who wants that mess? I think the world is longing to see a real church. They may not jump for joy when they see one. But a real church alive, telling the truth and living the truth and inviting them to the truth. Ladies and gentlemen, church family, here's what the world wants without them even knowing it yet. They want to see people different, changed radically by God to see if it's worthy of them putting their faith in it. How do I know? Because I hear about it all the time. And listen, some of you live in that environment. You go home and you're attacked for your faith from your own family. Don't lose heart. Family members and friends who are attacking your faith, guess what? In my experience, it's been those who get converted first. The one yelling at you the most, you know what they're doing? They will never, I'll tell you for them. They won't tell you this. They're pushing and prodding and testing and trying to make you snap. Number one, to justify them rejecting your message if you snap. Or number two, if you don't snap, then they're seeing if they should believe in the same God that you do because it seems to be working in your life. And three, if you do snap and you think you've lost all hope, that's what the word I'm sorry is so powerful about. If you think, Pastor Jack, man, you just hit me right between the eyes. I blew my witness with my friends. No, you didn't. No, you didn't. You go back to them and you tell them, hey, you know how I slapped your cat the other day? That was not Christ-like. That was wrong of me. I asked God to forgive me, but the Bible says I need to ask you to forgive me. Hey, you know what? You can redeem your buffoonery by saying or asking someone to forgive you. You can restore your witness. Pretty powerful stuff. And so the Lord would have us to be different in this world. And let's just face it, we are different. Jesus said in John 17:14, when he's praying what is called the high priestly prayer of Christ. Now, we all know the Lord's Prayer, which is quite misleading, the Lord's Prayer. You say, Pastor, I have a plaque on my wall, the Lord's Prayer. Well, that's sweet, but the Lord's real prayer is John 17. It's known as the high priestly prayer of Christ. When Jesus, just before he returns back home to heaven, he prays to his Father for you and I and for every believer. And in verse 14, he says, I have given them your word and the world has hated them. Why? Because they are not of this world. Just as I am not of the world. Listen to this. I wish verse 15 was not in the Bible. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. Again, Jesus, come on, you're going back to heaven. How about taking us? Jesus turns, listen, about you and I being galvanized to the world. Jesus prays to his Father, Father, take these who believe in your word, who the world already hates, because they're not like the world. And I pray that you would just protect them from Satan, who would seek to destroy them, but keep them in the world. Why would Jesus pray that? To make you and I a witness in a lost world. That's how much God loves the world. You know your friends that drive you nuts? God loves them. You say, yeah, but Jack, my friend is a Satanist. He's dope, smoking, coke, line drawing, bank robbing thief. God hates that sin. He hates all sin, but he loves that guy. It's amazing. But just because God loves the guy doesn't mean he gets a free pass into heaven. The guy's got to repent. He's got to change his mind. How is he going to change his mind? Through you. And see, this is going to get a little nervous. I love my friend, but I don't want to talk to my friend about Jesus because he might think I'm what? Different? He already thinks you're different. He hasn't told you yet. Well, people think I'm weird. They already think it. What are we protecting? Which leads us to this. We need to be strong. We're to be in the world. We are to be wise. We're to embrace the truth, the fact that we're going to be different, and that we're to be strong. When he says, I wrote to you in my epistle not to keep company with sexually immoral people, he goes on to say, I'll list all the sins. He says, since you then would need to go out of this world. That's an awesome statement. The Lord knows that you and I live in a world of hostility and difficulty and anger of those that are around us who are lost. And the awesome practicality of the Bible says, hey, Christian, get back out there. Get back out there in the world and shine. You know, how's that little song go? I miss a little song. A song for little people. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Little fire going out of your finger. That's what he wants us to do. But we're to be strong. And Ephesians 3:16 says that Paul is praying to for the church of Ephesus, and he says that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with all might through his Holy Spirit in the inner man. The inner man is the guy that lives inside of you. Paul says, that guy.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a study that takes a look at the last five verses of 1 Corinthians chapter 5. It's called Living Out the Word of God. Living Out the Word of God is part of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse look at this letter written by Paul, and we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, don't forget, just a quick point and click away, you can visit realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. It's a great way to stay in touch with us here at Real Radio. Now, we've made it real easy for you to listen to past editions of Real Radio. You can email questions you've got to Ask Pastor Jack. You can learn about our Real Radio Book of the Month. Lots of stuff to do there at realradioactive.org. As a matter of fact, while you're there, you could subscribe to Words to the Wise. Now, Words to the Wise is Pastor Jack's devotional, which you can subscribe to and get it in your email box. A lot of Real Radio listeners are getting on board and subscribing. Some are even writing in and letting Pastor Jack know how the Words to the Wise devotional really is a blessing to them, like this letter here. I thank you in my heart always for the blessing of your shared Words to the Wise devotionals. What a great way to begin my week. Thank you so much. You and yours are always in my grateful prayers to God. Isn't that a great letter? You know, Pastor Jack really does see these, he reads them, and he loves them. So send in yours. Just visit us today at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. And then click on the button there on the right that says devotional, realradioactive.org, or our telephone number, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.